Now, some of you may not know me. My name is Eddie Wee, and Chinese name is Sing Huat. That's Hokkien. And I've been following this church for a long, long time, from the school to here. So, and I've been letting my hair down until nothing to let down anymore. Yeah. So you can see how old I am right now. And yeah, I'm still young, like Ming Ha said that. Yeah, we are all of us are young, isn't it? Do you agree? All of us are young. Yeah, we are not old. You think you're old, you're old. If you're 20 years old, you think you're old, you're old. You're 70 years old, you think you're young, you're young. Yeah. So how many of you think you're young? Raise your hand. Only Jonathan. The rest don't think you're young. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. We know we are young or old. Yeah. Last time we can run. Now we can only can walk. Right. So let's start with the Word of God. Today, indeed, is a very special day for your church. It's because FFBC is celebrating, as he said, 23rd anniversary. Indeed, friends, it's appropriate to give thanks to God for his loving kindness towards FFBC throughout the 23 years. Amen? Amen. Now, FFBC has gone through a lot of challenges, disappointment, and discouragement. Did you give up and walk out? No, you did not. You did not let all the negative elements pull you down. You press on. You continue to seek the Lord. You did not give up. Instead, you continue to press on the goal that God has set before you. Now listen to a pastor who was also a missionary, who knew what you are going through. He had written this letter to encourage his fellow Christians and us not to give up, but to press on and continue to serve the Lord throughout this year and beyond. Therefore, the Apostle Paul encourages us not to focus our success or failure but on Jesus Christ. So the first point is we are called to focus our eyes on Christ. Let's look at verses 12 to 14. See, this term press on means to move rapidly and decisively toward an objective. Here Paul used the same word to prove that he was zealous to the point of persecuting the church. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. Then Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, partners of the promise in Christ, Jesus Christ, through the gospel. I was made a servant of this gospel by the gifts God's grace that was given to me by working of his power. There's Philippians, let me read it to you, chapter 3. As zealous persecuting the church, as to the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. Here Paul was saying that he was Hebrews of Hebrews, he had so many PhD, but yet later on he said, I give up everything to focus my eyes on Christ and Christ alone. So in the early verses 10 to 11, the Apostle Paul's goal was to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Paul also longed to share in the fellowship of his master's suffering, and in so doing to become like him in his death. And friend, that was Paul's desire and purpose as an apostle of Jesus Christ, to know Christ. His desire was to achieve such a goal in his life to the Christian in Philippi. Paul was a spiritual giant. And they might be thinking that Paul had indeed achieved his goals. It's just like us looking up to our spiritual heroes and we think that they have attained spiritual perfection on earth. But if you and I were to ask them about it, You can be sure that they will tell you that they're still striving to live godly lives. In this passage, the Apostle Paul wanted the Christians to know that they have not yet attained the goals stated in chapter 3, 10 to 11. And here, Paul was still actively pressing on toward them. Even though he had been a Christian for many, many years, he confessed that by no means that he had reached the final stage yet. Now, some of you have been Christian for many, many years. May I ask you, have you reached to the stage? Have you said that I have achieved it? I don't think so. If you ask me, been Bible college for 6 years, been a minister for many, many years, Eddie, have you achieved? I say, no. I'm still working on it. You see, the false teachers may be claiming that they have attained spiritual perfection. But Paul knew that spiritual perfection will come when Jesus returns. Meanwhile, Paul will continue to press on in his spiritual walk with God. He will never give up. He said, I will continue to walk with God. Now, I was searching for this illustration. I came to this illustration by a clip, yeah? By the name of John Stephen Akwari. You know this guy? In the 60s, yeah? Now, let me read to you this report by the journalist. John Stephen Akwari was never likely to win the men's marathon, but his chances were ruined when, perhaps because of the effect of the high altitude, he succumbs to cramps that show his progress. If that was painful, then worse was to come after he was involved in a struggle of athletes competing for position. Akwari fell to the ground, gushing his knee and also causing a dislocation. He also smashed his shoulder against the pavement. Most observers, seeing his injuries, assumed he would pull out and go to hospital. Indeed, he received medical treatment and returned to the track to continue his race. His pace, of course, was now much lower, but his resolve to complete the event remained intact. 18 of the 75 starters had pulled out. He did now wish to add to that number. And so more than an hour after the winner, Akwari crossed the line in last place, cheered home by a few thousand spectators who had remained in the stadium after the sun went down. The medals had already been awarded. By the time he reached the stadium, he was limping and the bandage around his leg. He was asked why he would carry on, and his response has gone down in sporting history. Now, listen to what he said, yeah? My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race, he said. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. The Apostle Paul did not just press on toward a goal, but he also forgot the things which were behind. And that to say, he would never glory in any of his past achievements. In short, Paul refused to be controlled by his past in heritage or his success. Here Paul is saying that in the Christian life, we ought to forget every past glory. And we must remember only the glory which forever lies ahead. And here Paul says we need to press on. Paul told the Christians in verse 13, look at verse 13. Well, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, it may be the guilt, the grudges, the sense of failure, or perhaps the other side of the coin, the fame or the success you hold on. Maybe some of you today cannot progress in your Christian life because you're still looking back at your past failure, sins, discouragement, or others that pull you down. And friends, we are not bound to the past. It need not own us, nor determine what we will do, think, or how we act. We are in progress, which permits us to be honest about the present, which gives us the freedom to discard our past. See, on the other hand, if some of us think that we do not need to press on in our walk with the Lord because we think that we were very successful with our career, our relationship, and our church ministry, then we are wrong. Why? It's because we are focusing on the past achievement. It's because we are feeding on our past glory, and therefore we think we do not need to grow in the Lord. Twice, the Apostle Paul called us not to hold on to our past failure or success, but to press on. Someone said, self-evaluation can be a dangerous thing because we can err in two directions. One, making ourselves better than we are, or making ourselves worse than we really are. Isn't that true? Now look at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Then look at verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we should press on and forget about the past. Instead, we should move on and finish the race which God has set before us, has set before this church. Second point is that we should be matured in Christ. We look at verses 15 to 16. See, our aim is to be more like Christ. We should be matured in Christ and continue to grow in Him. And this was also the desire of the Apostle Paul. He called his readers to share with him the pursuit of Christ-likeness. See, what he desired for himself, he also desired for them, that is spiritual maturity. In verse 15, Paul wrote, all of us who are matured should take such a view of things. What view of things? The one Paul has expressed regarding persistently pressing on toward the goal. One mark of spiritual maturity is a desire to go on with Christ. And here the Apostle Paul's appeal was to maturing Christians who share in his ambition. And here Paul trusted God to make things clear to those who do not agree with him. Yes, Paul acknowledged that in the various other areas, some of us do not yet see things in the same way. But he assured us, if Christ has brought us to a common mind about him, he will progressively bring us to a common mind about minor things too. As mature Christians, we are called to help each other to live godly lives and not to bring disunity in the body of Christ. You see, if our view is different from each other, we need to accept each other's opinion as long as it's not theologically and biblically wrong. Now, Charles Swindoll said, let me quote, union has an affiliation with others, but not common bond that makes them one in heart. Uniformity has everyone looking and thinking alike. Unity, however, refers to a oneness of heart, similarity of purpose, and agreement on major points of doctrine. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be united in the contest in which all of us are engaged, working towards the same goal and ready to help one another, especially by bearing one another's burden. See, the word attended in verse 16 is not referring to a certain level of understanding or knowledge, but of Christian behavior. In short, we must not let our personal view destroy our unity in the church. And here, therefore, the Apostle Paul encouraged the church to follow godly examples. Look at verse 17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. And this is my prayer for all of us here in this church. Let's be united. I always tell the church members from other churches, I say, what is secondary and primary? Right. Primary is that it's about Jesus, his death, and his resurrection, and his coming back again. Secondary things are secondary things, like baptism, secondary things. Whether another one is about, you know, election, we can debate until the count comes home, we're still debating. These are secondary things. We must look at the primary things. If a person do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus, that is primary. If people do not believe Jesus is Lord and Savior of the world, that is primary. So let's not fight over secondary things. Agree to disagree. And we must press on the goal that Christ has set before us. So I'm saying that we are called to follow godly examples. Look at 17:4-1. Now all of us have a choice to make about the people who will influence us. See, when we feel ourselves to be losing hope, when we are stagnant in our Christian walk, then we ought to follow the example of one who is following the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the reasons why we encourage the church to come to church service on Sunday is to encourage us to hear God's word, to encourage us to have fellowship with one another, encourage each other to be more like Christ. And that reason why we encourage the church to attend or to go to small group ministry so that we can pray for each other, so that we can encourage each other, so that we can look out for each other. So let your life be influenced by the one who is matured in Christ. The question is, are we striving to be good models? And for those who are matured in the Lord, there we say, like what Paul said, join with others in following by example. He wanted them to imitate him as he imitated Christ. Friends, such words are not egocentric claim that everyone should act precisely as he acts. For Paul had just stated that he was not perfect. But in the matter of pursuing after Christ's likeness, he did set himself up as an example. In the earlier chapters, Paul included Timothy and Epaphroditus as good models for the Christians to follow. And therefore, Paul did not count himself more superior than the others. The reason for Paul to encourage the Christians to imitate him was because there were bad bad elements in the community. And here Paul did not want these people to influence them. Instead, he told them to follow him and not to follow the wrong company. Why? It's because these false teachers were dangerous to the Christian community. Now look at chapter 3, 18 to 19. Here Paul pointed out five features in the lives of these false teachers. One, in character, they were enemies of the cross of Christ. Second, their God was their own passions. Third, their glory was in the shame in which they indulged. Fourthly, their future was destruction. And fifthly, their mind is on earthly things. See, they did not simply think about earthly things. Their minds are set on such things. Instead of being heavenly minded, these false teachers were earthly minded. They were attracted by wealth, reputation, and position. And these are the things that fill their minds and hearts. And they were totally opposite to Paul. You see, for Paul, his mind is set altogether on Christ, who for Christ is life, for whom to die is gain. See, his goal and purpose in life is to glorify God, is to please God. As God's children, they should not follow such people. Instead, they should look upward. Do you know why? It's because their citizenship is in heaven. Look at chapter 3, verse 20. Friends, this world is not a permanent home. And therefore, we should never build our treasures on earth. Some of us have dual citizenships. But in God's kingdom, you can only have one citizenship. One. Either you are citizen of this world or citizen of heaven. Which one are you? If we are citizen of heaven, our conduct and action must match our citizenship. Whenever we are, our conduct must prove that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Reverend Ray Stedman wrote, let me quote, God's first concern is not what the church does. It is what the church is. Being must always proceed doing, for what we do will be according to what or who we are. To understand the moral character of God's people is a primary essential in understanding the nature of the church. As Christians, we are to be a moral example to the world, reflecting the character of Jesus Christ. Unquote. So let's give our time and energy to mentor and disciple God's people to grow up to be spiritually matured in the Lord. The question is how? Maybe you could invite them to your home and show them your care for them and your concern about their physical and spiritual needs. Maybe most of us are retired. You can say, hey, John, how about we have Bible study together? How about we pray together once a week? Let's meet at the coffee shop. Let's open the Bible and pray together. Let me share with you. When I was actively as a full-time pastor, I mentored two leaders. So I meet up with them at 7:30 a.m. at Paramara. We are praying, reading the God's Word. This is encouragement to all of you. While we are reading and praying, we had three police officers sitting the other side at a McDonald's. So one of them asked the two policemen,
What are they doing?
Then this guy said, oh, they are praying. I heard that. I turned around and said, sir, we are praying for you too. Thank you for serving us. Another incident, that I was downstairs at the food center praying. Then one of the guys rushed to me and said, you're doing? I said, yeah. Oh, so encouraging to see both of you are praying. Can you see what I'm trying to tell all of you? You're not helping this person to grow in godliness. You are showing people around you, Christian, non-Christian. Can I see that? That, hey, these guys, these Christians are praying together. They are reading God's word. Also encouraging Christians around you who come for breakfast before they go to work and say, wow, I want to be like them too, you know. I want to have Bible study too. I want to meet up with my colleague who are Christians. Can you see that? Yeah, setting good example, not to the church people, but to those outside. Those are Christians. They want to be like you. Now, if you and I were to leave this world, what will you leave behind? Let's live for the things that will last forever. Let's focus our eyes upon Christ and keep running the race. And dear friends, we need to press on to know Jesus more and more. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, let me read to you 1 and 2. 11 talk about faith, right? Faith of Abraham, faith. Then chapter 12 says, therefore, referring to chapter 11 and before that, therefore, since we also have a large crowd of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us and run with endurance, the way it's endurance, the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and is sat down at the right hand of God's throne. Can you see that? Focus our eyes upon Jesus. Our Lord Jesus was so focused on the cross. Even disciples, even the devil trying to distract him, trying to say, do not go to the cross. But our Lord Jesus said, no, for the sake of my people, I will focus on the cross. I'll obey my Heavenly Father's command to go on the cross so that you and I will be saved. And lastly, as long as we live in this world, we as the church will continue to face trials and challenges in life. But today, the Word of God encourages us not to give up, but to press on the goal that our Father has set before you, before FBBC. And my prayer is that FBBC will continue to celebrate his 24th, 25th, and more anniversaries to come. And this church will hear an encouraging word from our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 25:21. Well done, FBBC, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Do you want to hear this word from God? From your... I also want to hear that too. So let me close with a prayer of Paul in Philippians chapter 1, 9 to 11. Let me pray for... Let's close in prayer. This is what Paul said to the church, and this is what I want to pray for this church. And this is my prayer, that your love may be abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.